At the end of 2022, a science writer for Life magazine named David Bierkley asked me several questions about avian intelligence via email and phone for an article he was writing for a special edition. In February 2023, David sent me his manuscript. I heard from a fact checker at Life, and that was that. In the intervening 2 years, all this slipped my mind, but last Saturday, my dear friend Susan Eaton was reading an article in Life's Birds, the World's Most Remarkable Creatures, that started out like this. What was going on in that raven's mind? It's a question that still intrigues Laura Erickson 4 decades after her encounter with the bird. Erickson was on a long walk along a quiet country road. On the same path the day before, her wristwatch, a treasured gift from her husband, had slipped off, and she feared it had been lost forever. But now, a few miles into her walk, she heard a raven squawking. A few minutes later, the raven flew over with something hanging out of its beak, Erickson says. I pulled up my binoculars, and there was my wristwatch. The raven flew in closer and closer right over my head, and voila, it dropped my wristwatch at my feet. As Erickson recounted, I'm still gobsmacked. I've spent the intervening years studying everything I could about avian intelligence, but the more I learn, the more I realize that I haven't even scratched the surface. Hokey Smoke, that of course has been one of my favorite stories ever since it happened in 1981. I've talked and written about that amazing raven encounter many times, but when Susan sent me a photo of that paragraph in Life magazine, of all places, I was thrilled. Russ had to run out to the mall area Saturday, so on the way home, he stopped at Barnes & Noble to pick up a copy. He ended up with 2 because the issue was printed with 2 different covers. I, of course, immediately read David Bierkley's entire 12-page article, How Birds Think. He quoted a great many important and famous researchers and educators around the world, including Jennifer Ackerman, my favorite nature writer, and Irene Pepperberg, whose work with Alex the African gray parrot gave us more insights into the mental acuity of a highly intelligent bird than many close-minded ornithologists were ready to reckon with when Pepperberg started publishing her results. And amazingly, Bierkley quoted me in 2 other places besides the article's opening. First, he wrote that the authors of the book Gifts of the Crow, John Marsliff and Tony Angel, suggest that corvids share 7 unique capacities with humans: language, delinquency, frolic, passion, wrath, risk-taking, and awareness. And he continued, not everyone agrees with Marsliff and Angel, but certainly no one disputes that smart birds and smart primates both possess curiosity. When I was a teacher, Laura Erickson recalls, I always had a bell on my desk. It was from a board game, and it had a button on top. At the end of the school year, I would bring this bright orange bell home and ring it in front of a blue jay I was raising. So he looks at the bell, his crest goes up, he jumps, and he flicks his wings and cocks his head. I ring it again, and he immediately goes up and pushes the button with his bill. But it doesn't make the cool ding because his breast was pressed against the bell. He looks at me, and I ring it again. I leave and go to another room. All of a sudden, I hear this ding, 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 ding. And so I come running, and he is hovering over the bell so he can press the button without his body touching it. Now, what in evolutionary terms could possibly be of value in ringing a bell? The short answer, there is none. But as Erickson points out, curiosity, tenaciousness, figuring out cause and effect, and keen observational skills are excellent qualities for an opportunistic omnivore, be it a blue jay or a human being. It's that kind of intelligence, she adds, that gets my husband doing the New York Times crossword puzzle every morning. Imagine my thrill at being quoted in the very same paragraph as Tony Angel, whose ethereal Ravens, Crows, Magpies, and Jays has held a treasured place on my bookshelf since it was first published in 1978, and whose art has graced 30 of the annual Birds and Art exhibits at the Lee Yawkey Woodson Museum in Wausau since 1985. He was the master wildlife artist featured in 2001, Tony Angel. The last topic Bjerkli covers in depth is birdsong. When he gets to mimicry, he lists a big variety of sounds various mimicking birds have imitated and then writes, "Birdsong can also serve as a travelogue," says Erickson. "When you hear a mockingbird, you can tell where he's been by the songs in his repertoire," she says. "I call them the Othello bird because Othello attracted Desdemona by telling her tales of his adventures. And that's sort of what a mockingbird or brown thrasher or catbird is doing when they throw in those imitations. Look, I encountered a chainsaw. Listen, I once faced off with a cell phone." I was thrilled to be interviewed for this project in the first place, but somehow forgetting all about it in the intervening 2 years made seeing the article in print thrilling all over again. And like those mockingbirds, I can't help but shout about it from the treetops. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.